Let's pray together. Lord, in these moments, may your Holy Spirit be poured out in our hearts afresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 145 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds." Didn't seem like it on Friday. As people's dreams and hopes lay shattered, as they stood around a cruel scene of a cross, of where an innocent man was dying, a painful, slow death, a difficult death, a man already cruelly beaten, humiliated, and rejected by his own people. A preacher who had sought to save the lives of others, who had only shown grace and kindness, tenderness, who had helped those who no one else would help, was now helpless on a cross. Surrounded by a few faithful, loyal friends who didn't know what to expect, but they would stay close to the cross, even though they were silent. It had been part of God's plan, a plan unfolding. But that day above every other day, Jesus paid a heavy price for your sin and for mine. And he died. And the Father turned his face away. Peter reflects upon that moment and the necessity of it. And I'll read to it from 1 Peter chapter 3. "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water." Strange little verse. The day Jesus died, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. And who knows what that means? Countless theologians have spent ages trying to unravel it. Some believe that he made a declaration to the demonic spirits in the presence of Satan about the cross and the redemption. Others believe that since all departed spirits, including Abraham's bosom, and they went into Sheol or Hades, that in some senses there was a gulf between those who had remained righteous to God and those who had been who had rejected him, and that he went and spoke to those in Sheol who had gone on before the saints about their liberation. I'm not entirely sure. It seems to be a strange verse, but it says to me something quite significant. The day Jesus died, he went to declare just what had happened to someone for some reason. And any of those reasons are good enough for me. If Jesus went into Sheol or Hades after his death and declared victory to the demonic world who sought to wreak havoc and ruin upon people, praise God he did. Praise God the risen Lord wanted to make them aware that they had not succeeded in thwarting God's plan. They had fallen painfully short. And Jesus declared such to that world of darkness. Or if he went and spoke to Abraham and those who were righteous and took with him at that moment the dying thief to paradise, the place of rest and awaiting their full redemption. If he went there to say to them, it is over. It is done. And now you will ascend with us into heaven to meet Father. Who knows? Who truly knows? But something happened that day that changed the world. And when I spoke just the other evening on Good Friday, I read from Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm captivated by it. After the suffering of his soul, that is Jesus, that was a prophecy 700 years before the event, talking about Jesus. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Now, whatever happened in that Hades or Sheol when Jesus declared, preached to the spirits in prison, he was talking about his liberation. About how he had liberated those who had been enslaved to sin. I think about it like this. Those on earth, Mary, John, the disciples, didn't know what was happening when he was apparently in that tomb dead. But he wasn't dead. He was in declaration mode. He hadn't appeared to them yet. That would still await. They hadn't heard this message yet. That still had to come. They were in distress. They were languishing in disappointment. They were in a hopeless state. But this verse captures me, because here in the tomb, Jesus was waiting to be bodily resurrected. Took 3 days. They had sealed the tomb. It was closed. It was dark. It was a miserable place. A place built for decay. A place built for burial. Jesus was there, awaiting his bodily resurrection. And on that third day, when it was sealed and dark, a stone began to creak and shift. You could hear its sound. Angel. And that dark place flooded with a flicker of light for the first time as Jesus' eyes awoke. And he saw the light of life in Jerusalem. And the stone aged ever so slightly to reveal the full light of day. And the Jesus that was once dead was now gloriously alive. a man beaten to death and punished, now resurrected. And he walked out into the light and was satisfied. He breathed the air of Jerusalem, and he was going to meet a redeemed people. Mary was the first. "Go and tell Peter," he said. "I am the light of the world. I've not just now seen the light of Jerusalem. I not just have walked through a dark tomb into the daylight of this new world. I am the light of the world." And he was satisfied. And our world changed as a result of it that day. And so does yours. Hopelessness has been overturned. Death has been eroded. The victory and sting has been taken away. You and I are living in the glorious light of the resurrection. You and I have such joy today that is unbridled. The work was finished. New life began. He is the light of the world. He lights up your dark places. He takes you out of despondency and despair and declares to you the hope of the gospel. That not only did he come wanting to save people, he does save people. He's been saving people ever since. That light can never be extinguished. All over the world today, billions of people are celebrating a risen Lord. All over today, the world today, people are entering into rejoicing and singing and dancing because Jesus is alive and Jesus has changed them and Jesus is satisfied, thoroughly satisfied with his work on the cross. And he brings satisfaction to generations of people and will continue to do so the rest of living history, because that day changed everything. The stone was rolled away, light flooded the tomb, but out of the tomb came the light of the world, changing people forever. Don't you want to rejoice? Don't you want to celebrate? Don't you want to give him praise? He has saved you and he is satisfied with his work. And one day we will meet him and he will look us in the face and we will look in his face and our love will be complete. The Son of God sent to a broken world to love the broken back to health. And you and I are spiritually healthy today because of Jesus and what he did for us. If you're not a Christian, what did you make of today? Are we mad? Or are we doing what comes now naturally because of what Jesus has done for us? We're praising him because we have every reason to. And no one will ever extinguish that light. It will shine into the darkness and it will never be overcome, because the world cannot overcome him. They can put to death his people. They can torture them. They can imprison them. They can do everything that they desire to extinguish the light, but he has come. And no one can extinguish that light. But I'm troubled today. There's a part of me aches for those who have not become Christians. We pray for it. We have been praying for a long time for it. We've been praying for your conversion all week, 24 hours. This church has been open for prayer for 5 days so that the light of the world could shine into your life, so that Jesus could be satisfied that his work was not only complete, but that you were complete because of it. He wants you to experience his love, his grace, his mercy. He wants you to come and rejoice and to give thanks that he has the power to save you. It takes one act of your humility to say, Lord, it applies to me, for you to bow the knee and embrace him. Would you do it? It would mean everything, because Jesus gave everything to make it possible. Let's pray.